Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Welcome to Window Seat, broadcasted on Full Service Radio from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. We are provided this opportunity by the Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy, also known as AMILA. And my name is Omari. I'm one of your hosts. We're missing one, Chris. He's on his way. He knows how important this is, so, you know, he's coming. And we got Jack today.
In the building. What's good?
Jack has been missing in action.
It's true. It's those long travel weekends, man. My Thursdays always get cut off.
Jack's been growing the business. He's modest.
Jamal holds it down, though.
Yeah, Jamal always does his thing. And today we have a very, very, very amazing guest. She's, I don't know, you can hear every day her amazing voice on the radio. I'm a loyal member of The Village where, she talks about, always positively talks about what's going on in our local community and what's going on nationally. She gives us insight onto how we can improve ourselves, how we can love each other, and always continue to grow, which is important to us here on Window Seat. And what stuck out to me about her mostly is how she's so open about her experiences, her personal experiences, and her growth, and how she got to where she is today, the challenges that she's overcome. And she's always encouraging in providing things about her and how we, her listeners, the village, can overcome their
obstacles.
Obstacles. Like, there you go. Help me out.
Everybody has challenges. Hey, what it do? Beer Gang, Bacon Bits, Beautiful Village, your girl Poet.
Yeah, a host of midday shenanigans.
Because I think if you look at your day, anything can happen. Like, I'm a anything is possible kind of girl. So I go with that daily, and I know that if I pour something positive into you, It's only natural that you'll pour it into the next person you interact with. Just like if I flip you off or cut you off in traffic, now you're going to drive more aggressive and you're going to pay it forward to the next person.
Right.
The problem is that, you know, we're all dealing with life and it's happening. So I choose to take the alternative route. I'll find the silver lining. I will find the lesson. Ask God to reveal it if need be. Mm-hmm. And then be better because of it. So I'm honored to be here. I'm nervous. I don't get interviewed.
Yeah, I'm nervous too. I was telling Jack when I got here that I'm in a weird space, and then my right hand ain't here today, which kind of always throws me off. So, but thank you for coming. Thank you for agreeing to come. I know it got shaky between us for a minute, but you came through.
Life happens as it's supposed to. As I've gotten older, I've learned that I can use my energy to be worried about, oh, it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? God, what happened? Or I can be like, you intervened because you knew there was a better moment or a better piece in this particular chapter where that fit better. Today it fit better.
Right.
My dog has been home a week since his surgery, so I felt comfortable not going straight home.
Right.
It gave me a time to listen to you. Thank you for what you bring to the village with this podcast. There are not a lot of safe spaces where people are free to talk openly.
Right.
And be honest and be open for conversation.
Yeah.
We live in a world where I think everyone's yelling the same thing at each other. Let me live my life. Let me be happy. Let me love who I love. Let me do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
While pointing a finger at somebody else and telling them they don't get to have the same. So my goal every day is to remind people that we're more alike than we are different. And I don't get to say, let me be a black bi woman out here advocating for homeless youth and foster care children and making my coin through media and writing. And then tell you that you don't get to follow all your dreams. But you better respect mine. So every day I just try to leave you better than you came. I know that you have options, Spotify, Tidal. You can go anywhere and everywhere for your music and just for your, I call it edutainment. Like, I'm going to entertain you and talk about Cardi B, her abs, and this gospel version of Clout. But then it's also my job to educate you. Jay-Z's doing an HBCU tour with Toyota and taking kids on a week-long tour of HBCUs across the country. They were in town at Howard today. So as a media person, it's my job to make sure I'm pouring into all parts of you, not just the ratchet, but the sophisticated too, so we can be sophisticated ratchet together.
And we thank you for that. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and give us some of that history that I get to hear every day on the radio?
So I was born in Detroit.
Right.
Crack baby born to drug addicted parents. Mm. So I was put in the care of my grandmother, then put into the system. I love how we call it just the system. I was adopted at 7, unfortunately adopted by an abuser and a pedophile. Wow. And they back up in the system when all of that found out at like 12. Went to a foster home at 15, aged out the system at 21. For the first time, March 7th, I spoke to my birth mother for the first time, who's been clean and sober for 20 years. We got to talk about why she couldn't be around, talking about the kind of woman I became. I just saw my first picture of her on Easter. Mm. We have the same eyes and same cheekbones. So to go from a month ago, I woke up a girl with no family and just God families and foster families that took me in, hence the village. I was raised by it.
Right.
So as an auntie now at a village, it's my job to come back and be like, let me take care of the village babies coming up after me.
Were you in the system? I got my air quotes again.
Yes, air quotes.
In D.C. or was that in D.C.?
Let me tell you how this happened. I was a member of the Smoke Down Honeys.
Okay.
Used to sneak into go-go's. Shout out to Backyard. My social worker, Renee St. Cyr, rest in paradise. He just passed from leukemia 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
I was running away so much that the police knew me by name. Mm. My social worker was like, what are we going to do with you? And I got into a fight and got locked up. And my judge was like, I feel like you're not going to make it to 16 if I leave you in this city. Mm-hmm. They sent me to the system in Maryland. Ended up in Parkville, Maryland. My social worker got reassigned. They forgot that I was there. I ended up a member of the Maryland foster care system. That's how I ended up in Baltimore.
Wow.
And I claim Baltimore so tough because it's the longest place I've ever lived.
How old are you?
By now I'm like 12, 13, 14, let's say 15. Mm-hmm. I had gotten expelled from Dunbar Senior High School in D.C. for fighting. Mm-hmm. Then got expelled from Parkville Senior High School in Baltimore County. Ended up having to get my GED because Baltimore City wouldn't take me unless I sat out of school a year. Mm-hmm. So, fast forward to somebody telling me that I couldn't do radio because I was fat and I had a lisp.
Is that something that you wanted to do, radio?
So I've always wanted to be actually an anchor woman. I used to watch the news, and up until like the Oprahs and the Avas, I didn't see women of color who were curvy. Everybody looked like they needed a sandwich. They were a little pale. I didn't like how they reported on my neck of the woods because I felt like I knew kids that were doing amazing things. My foster mother only took in teenagers. She didn't take babies because she knew it was harder to place anybody 12 and up.
Right.
I ended up getting her on ABC 7 in Baltimore. She got a gold 13 because I was like, why aren't y'all reporting on this? So I would imagine, and don't judge me, y'all, I would legit feel like I might be in like Emerson Avenue and somebody gets shot and a news camera come, mm-hmm. and then they inadvertently get shot or hit by something. And then I just pick up the mic and be like, well, we tend to our comrade right now. We're on the corner of Emerson and Wildwood Parkway. Apparently there's been a shootout in front of the tax place. We're not sure exactly what's going on, but as I get details, the police are arriving. I'll let you know. Back to you in the studio. And I just knew the people in the studio would be like, who the hell is this black girl with this magic?
Right.
I also want.
So wait. Your dream was to have someone get shot, so you could have the opportunity to broadcast to report the. That's crazy.
I look here. You're not gonna judge my life.
Hey, listen. You got to do what you got to do to get on.
It was just, I felt like there was a better way to tell the stories, even the most difficult ones, in the worst parts of the part of the village that I was a part of and the things that were happening to my immediate tribes. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that I only saw the news cameras when people got shot or something was robbed or something was wrong. When we're celebrating birthdays and promotions and people getting picked up by this and drafted to that, I felt like, who's telling our stories and our voice in our way and not changing the narrative to make themselves feel better, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I've always liked the challenge of people telling me I couldn't do it. You don't see a lot of chunky people now, for real. I have a list. People told me I couldn't do radio, but nobody said anything to Biggie, who happily told you he was fat, black, and nasty,
right,
with a list. So I also wanted to change that narrative, that it's not about what I look like, it's what I pour into you. And when you catch that vibe, then you'll see past everything else. There are great people walking around this earth that'll never get an opportunity because people can't get past the cover of their book. And that's an unfortunate situation, but we also have the opportunity to change that. You interviewing me, I don't think I'm an influencer. I think I'm doing the part that God meant for me to do when he created me. I'm supposed to be here, share love, remind people that life is not unicorn farts and rainbows, But it ain't the struggle all the time either. And when we know better, we do better. And if you have a podcast like this, I got a list of people that now I want to send to you, because I think that they're doing things.
Please.
From mentoring young men and women to people that feed the homeless out of their own pocket every month just because that's the part that they want to do. I feel like, imagine a world where when you went on social, it wasn't a majority of fights or shading people. Wait, it was the Window Seat Podcast. It was the village cleaning up this. It was us helping somebody fix their house or their business because they had met a hard time. It's positivity. So just like I think negativity breeds negativity and people will do the most to get that 15 minutes, I think it's up to folks like us to be like, wait, you ain't got to be so ratchet. It's all right. We going to turn up, act up like the city girls. But guess what? You can still be just as classy and you can still make just as much money and you can still get just as much done and have just as much influence. So,
did you have to grow into that? Because I know the younger you are, the more you're influenced by that, the ratchet, as you call it. So,
this is going to sound very strange. No, it's not. My therapist tells me to stop apologizing for being dope. So, this is not going to sound strange. I always wanted to be to everyone else what people were to me as I navigated my life. The people that stepped in when they found out my father was molesting me and took me in, I wanted to be that for someone else. The person that told me I was beautiful, period. Not beautiful to be a big girl, not beautiful to be natural, not beautiful to be black, not beautiful to be from Detroit, but just beautiful, period. I wanted to go forth and pour that into people. My sisters say I'm very empathetic. I just been through a lot. I've been homeless, ate out the trash, slept in my car. So before I judge somebody, I'm able to sit back and be like, I remember when I had to live in a rooming house because I got laid off both my jobs in the same week, a day apart, my full-time and my part-time. I remember performing CPR on one of my neighbors who got shot in said same building. Yeah. So it's not that far-fetched to believe that if I'm going through all of this and God is bringing me out of it, there has to be other people that need to know on a daily basis that they're not the only ones in a filtered world where people can make you think they're on vacation and doing all this stuff. That there are people that really care, that you make it, that you wake up, and that you take the next step. It wasn't so much I grew into it, I was born into it. This was the purpose that God gave me. If kids in, I live in Southeastern Congress Heights, they see me walk out and walk my dog on Savannah, which used to be one of the worst areas. They hear how people talk about Southeast. They act as if great people aren't born there and aren't creating there and doing there. So every day I bump into the little girls on my block and they're like, I watched you want to do this with my mother. I want to do what you do. I am a tangible living product of what can come out of this space that people keep telling you nothing great is going to come out of. So I feel more like I was born into it, more so growing into it. It's just me.
That's beautiful.
I'm such an emotional unicorn.
I want to... So I want to thank you because you give me an example, a personal example. A lot of the things that you've experienced, I've experienced, and I haven't, I don't talk about it because it's not easy, right? So it's not you hear about people talking about their hardships, and it's usually growing up in a difficult neighborhood, a bad neighborhood, or, you know, selling drugs, getting locked up, and that stuff is glamorized. But being in foster care is something that I experienced, and being homeless is something that I experienced, and living in a difficult, you know, home environment is something that I experienced. And so to hear people like you, or I used to work at CFSA, so I met a lot of kids who had similar experiences, and to hear you talk about it so openly makes it easier for me to talk about it openly because it's something that I didn't feel comfortable doing, right? I don't know why. I think saying it out loud made it more real for me.
It does.
And it's a lot easier to just keep it inside and keep moving on with life. Yeah. And hearing it makes it, you know, coming out of my own mouth, it's like, damn, I went through that. You know what I'm saying?
So let's look at it on another vibration then. Because you speak, I can share my testimony and it's going to touch people. When you share, you touch and minister to a whole nother group of people
right.
that maybe didn't hear mine. That's the way it's supposed to work. Because what will happen is, now that you share, there's a young man that is now going to share something with his friend because they've talked and he feels like if his friend has a safe space to share, then he'll be good. Mm-hmm. And then that's how you move that forward. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, you sit in a studio and you don't know if people are listening. My boss is like, a million people are listening to you at a time day. Hey, I don't want to, no pressure here. I never get to know if the seeds that I'm trying to plant are actually being planted and received. So when I have conversations, that's why I'm so big on us having conversations. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have never had this conversation, I would have never known that you experienced that, mm-hmm. that you're a walking testimony of getting through that, or that I in any way, shape, or form even was a part of that moment for you.
Right.
But now that we've had that conversation, hopefully there's somebody who's listening that maybe this encourages them to maybe go see a therapist. It took a long time for me to go see a therapist because like you, I got through it. I'm good. And then I realized there are a lot of things that traumatize you and when you're younger. And this goes beyond just your parents getting high or this, that, and the third. I look at some of the kids I mentor now. They're graduating this year. One of my mentees has lost like 4 of her classmates. Mm. That's traumatizing.
Right.
Didn't affect me. Both my parents are home. But who does she go to or who does she look up to that it's going to be better or there's somebody fighting? So that's not her sister when she graduates. That's not her narrative. And instead of 4, it's 8 kids. So when we share, magical things happen. We've just been kind of brainwashed to not share and to think, I got to hold it close to my chest and I got to keep it for me and use it to keep getting up. But that's not how you level up. I level up because I pour into you, because now I have a space for God to pour something else into me. Then I level up again. And when I pour that out, then my next level happens. But when you're doing that, everyone else is leveling up around you. When you're not sharing, when I'm not pouring into you, you're not pouring into me, pouring into your co-host, then we become stagnant and everybody's trying to figure out why you're not pouring into each other. That's the elevation. That's like the evolution of everything. Mm-hmm. The plant doesn't become a flower on its own. There are other things that have to pour into it. Sunlight, the minerals in the dirt, water. So if that's the case just for everyday life, how can I expect me to grow as the flower I am in God's garden with nothing poured into me?
Did you experience ever opening up to somebody and them having a negative reaction or their attitude or the way they talked to you or approached you? You can see it changing?
I think people are just not comfortable with conversations that you should really be comfortable with, because life is going to happen whether you want to address it or not. At the time of my father molesting me, I was a junior usher at the church that we went to. Mm-hmm. He was a deacon. Mm. I used to start praise and worship service. I was like one of those kids. You couldn't tell me God ain't have me. I said my prayers on my knees every night. Like I was a holy roller in the youth division. Here for it. So when I finally had the courage to tell my pastor what my father was doing to me, my pastor looks me in my eye and he goes, well, you know, sometimes little girls get mad at their dads and they make up stories. So I want you to go home and think if this is a story that you want to tell me. And I said, oh, okay. And in that moment, I was like, well, I'm never going to tell anybody ever again. Because that would be my second time that I told someone. And that's what happened. The first time I told the mother that adopted me, that was her husband. She went away for a funeral. When she came back, I told her that my father had touched me. I woke up to him, like, penetrating me. She goes, really? And I can't believe it. Kissed me, hugged me, made me feel like I was going to be saved because he did it whenever she wasn't there. He did it when my siblings were downstairs. She calls me upstairs. I'll never forget it. Made me come into their bedroom and she made me strip in front of him. And she gave me a beating. On the right side of my chest, I still have a belt buckle scar. It was the worst whipping she had ever given me out of all the ones that she gave me. In that moment, I felt broken. I trusted God, so I went to my pastor. So in that case, it was too. I know it's easy to not believe victims, and it's easy to say, well, why didn't you do this, that, and the third? But there's some people who told. They were either punished because they told. They were ridiculed because they were told. They were shamed because they told. And then they don't tell. And then sometimes you hear somebody share their story, and it empowers you to share yours. You now feel like, okay, I'm really not alone, or there's somebody that's going to fight with me, and it won't be the little kid that tried to speak up. I'm an adult now with people beside me who will help me stay standing, because this is going to get rocky. That's a lot to discuss. My therapist says when you're able to discuss things and not bust out in tears, mm-hmm. you've come to real terms with it and you've really dealt with it. A lot of us don't. We band-aid it and be like, okay. So I share not to be like, oh, look at all the things I made it through. I share to remind you that 100% of your worst days are behind you. That if you close your eyes right now, there was a time last year that you thought you were not going to make it through, whatever that was for you. That's why I never tell people it can always be worse. My worst will never be yours, and vice versa. I don't know what the breaking point for you is, so I don't get to tell you that. But what I do know is that if I tell you that I experienced it and I share my story, the pain, if I got to cry, scream, get it out, I know that when we share honest, transparent, non-filtered stories, it will, God will make it so the seeds are planted with the right people at the right time. I randomly say things on air and people are sliding to my DMs and be like, I've been X, Y, and Z because I never like to share people's business without asking them. And I heard you say that. I'm going to apply for this job at my job tomorrow. I'm going for this promotion. I'm kicking my boyfriend to the curb. I'm going back to school. So that's why I encourage y'all to share. Tag me and stuff. Let's talk about it. And then make people better because of it. Because Lord knows, you ain't got to look no further than headlines to know. It's some craziness out here.
It's a lot of craziness. Chris finally joined us.
He brought all
blessed
sexy.
Us with his presence.
Listen, I apologize for being late. But I'm sure y'all have had a new job before. And they called me into a meeting like 15 minutes before it's time to walk out the door. So they kind of got me. But
you're here now.
Yeah. And Mr. Francis, you kind of keyed me in on what you were going to say at the beginning of the show.
What did I say? Well,
I
didn't say when I would say it. But yeah, I told you I wanted to talk about, because I think what I expressed about being in foster care, whatever, was something that I don't think you knew that, Chris.
Well, I can say the conversation was powerful when I walked in, and I was prepared to just sit here and shut up because I was like, oh, I don't want to ruin this. This is good. So thank you for letting me join in on the conversation and bringing me in, because I was prepared to sit here quiet.
Okay. Oh, well, y'all look so cute.
So, Poet, for people who may have experienced telling someone and not being heard or being punished even for telling someone, what advice would you give them?
Keep sharing your story. Keep saying it. Even when people didn't believe that my father was touching me, I still told, even in times that I didn't want to tell. Because for me, I had to think about how I felt, how it made me feel, how it was changing me. And that I would never want him to pour that onto anybody else. I'd rather be the last in the line of than one in the midst of. And I know it sucks and it hurts and everybody has to reach that point. But the best advice I could give is to keep sharing your story. Some people are not going to believe you. It's unfortunate. Some people didn't believe you when you said you were going to graduate from college or buy a house or get married. It's not for them to believe. It's not that that's not their moment. But you keep sharing. A, to get it out. That stuff eats away at you when you've been traumatized and you haven't properly dealt with it. It eats away at you. It subconsciously self-sabotages things that you're trying to build and grow because there's still something there. So even if somebody tells you that they don't believe you, not a problem. You know that you did your part. You know that you told and you shared it and you made sure that it was known. So in the event that whomever comes behind you and does it again to someone else, you can stand firm and be guilt-free and knowing, no, I told my story just for this reason, because I was hoping that there wouldn't be another one after me. And you also share to hopefully help deliver one of your sisters or brothers in the village that have never even spoke out loud that they were traumatized in some form or fashion.
Right. Who should people tell?
I believe in trusted adults, and this is where people loosely throw around friendship. And this is my sister, this is my cousin. I take those positions very seriously. My friends are like my executive board. I'm a whole company. So everybody who sits at the table needs to be able to do two things. Be not brutally honest, but tactfully honest with me. If I got a fat roll hanging out, if it's lipstick on my teeth, if there's something dried on my face, if I got an odor, I expect anybody who's been given the permission to sit at this table in my vibe and in my love to be honest with me and to love me unconditionally. You find that person. I think sometimes we tell kids, find your teacher. Might not trust my teacher, but I might talk to my bus driver every single day because we end up together on the bus because I'm the last stop.
Right.
I may not talk to my aunts and them, but there might be an older cousin that always lets me come outside, sit with them. Find the person that you can be, like, unapologetically honest with. For me, that's my sister, Dina. I can call her and be like, girl, I had a one-night stand last night. Girl, she's going to be like, did you protect yourself? And girl, was it good? There's never a, oh, my God, we don't have those moments. And because of that, my niece is growing up in a circle where she can pull me to the side and tell me that she didn't like something one of my other aunts did, and I don't know how to approach it. But this is what happens when you have those trusted individuals around you. I'm not going to tell you go look for a police officer or to look for this or that. It has to be somebody that you can sit down with and be like, this is where I am. And when I was able to do that, then I was able to take the next step of reporting or doing, because now I have an ally who I know is not going to leave me or forsake me. I'm a very spiritual person. Don't go to church a lot. Not a holy roller, but I'm very spiritual. It's hard for some people to find that in God because they need a tangible person whose shoulder I can cry on, take a shot of Hennessy with, shake it off, and get back to the grind with. So if you are going through something, you've been through something, you feel like, and you have no idea who to talk to, that person that if you were locked up, you knew this is the person that you called because they'd ask you, well, how much was the bail first and what you did second. That's the person that you go to. You thinking about that friend right now, ain't you?
No. We had a conversation earlier. I thought it was funny and timely because I called Mr. Francis. I was like, yo, I really, really appreciate you.
You did.
Because him and my brother, I had something on my mind a day or so ago. And I thought of two people to call. I was like, oh, I could talk to Amari. I could talk to my brother. Both of them were busy and he picked up the phone. I was like, yo, I really appreciate you and the fact that, you know, my spirit is okay with talking to you. It's not everybody that I feel that way about.
Yeah, I get a seat at the table.
That it's important because those are the people that'll make or break you. And I don't think people think of it like that. If I'm having a bout of depression and I call my trusted person, it has to be a person that's not going to pull me deeper into where I am. It's not going to be the person that's going to be like, girl, you get over it. It's nothing. It's going to be the person that'd be like, well, what's wrong? What's on your mind? Spit it out. Even if it comes out jumbled, spit it out. And then let's pick it up, piece it together, and then let me see how I can help you. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not the police, but I'm somebody who loves you, and I care that you're okay. How can I help you is normally how I start all of those conversations. I want to tell you something. How can I help you?
Well, I got a question. I missed the first part of the interview, but I'm curious what books you read, because you have a lot of stuff that seems, for me at least, that it's right on time. So,
don't laugh. I read a lot from anime. I just finished Michelle Obama book. Like, I read comics. I find lessons in everything. I watch Love and Hip Hop to get on air and use those storylines as ways to talk to people in the village. Like, I know it sounds very crazy. I always believe in ministering to people where they are. So I read the newspaper. I still read Essence magazine. I try to read books. I read The Art of War once a year. My mother says it's counterproductive. I tell her no. Mm-hmm. Because The Art of War teaches you how to battle different types of people. You're going to meet those people at different points in your life. So I reread the book every year because it normally sets me up for my battles that I'm dealing with. I didn't already learn this way and that way, but now I'm dealing with somebody else out the book. But if you give me anything, I'm going to read. I do. I just thought about that. I read everything.
Do you listen to podcasts as well? Or
I do. Yours. I listen to Joe Budden. Jesus and Mira. Like, I listen to people that are going to make me think. And I want you to challenge me when you're talking. Challenge me to be better. Challenge me to check myself. I tend to stray away from podcasts that are like, oh, look at us. We're going to say something real hazardous and hope that we go trending. I am a credible messenger in a world where that has become the norm. And it's killing off a whole tribe slowly, so I can't pour into those things. I listen to y'all in the conversations that you're having, and I'm thinking, well, these are the kind of conversations that people should be having. Mm. And why aren't we? We talk about representation, but how often do you really, really, really pour into said business or podcast? Have you ever ran a commercial through here? Not saying don't come to PGC because we want you to. But I use the example of when Cheers closed. Everybody was like, gentrification, and the colonizers and came, and busboys and poets. I got on the air, and I said, I just have one question. In a seven-day week, and you went to four happy hours, how many of those happy hours were at Cheers?
I say the same thing. I get in trouble.
I don't care about getting in trouble. I care about facts. And most of the people in that room were like, oh, well, you know, right. So if my rent is increased and you are not coming here, I don't have the money to pay said increased rent.
Or chairs. Chairs where?
Next to the big chair in Southeast.
With it, the Dion Reeder owned chairs, mm-hmm. right? She was running for the, we had her on the show as well. And when did it close? I didn't even know she closed.
Yeah, about, let's say it's been about 2 weeks now.
Oh.
She said she was priced out, but yeah, they can raise the rent. They're doing it in, what is that, Columbia Heights, where people are getting their rent like double. Like telling them in 90 days your rent's going to be $1,000 more than it is right now. And these are rent-controlled buildings.
Right.
I was talking about this today. There is a, landlords and building owners can go to the city and be like, oh, I'm having a tough time because these are all rent-controlled apartments and I don't make enough to pay for the maintenance of the building. So they can ask the city to exceed the market rate plus 2% of the people in the building so that the owners can get what they want. But if people aren't having conversations about that, people wouldn't know that they can actually fight that.
Hmm. But these are the kind of conversations. This is the these are the gems that you give away on your show.
I try. I try not to make it super serious all the time. Mm-hmm. I know there's some things we can't laugh about.
Right.
But I feel like there's a way to blend it all in. Tomorrow I have to talk about a man who blew himself up smoking a cigarette at his old folks' home. Because he had his oxygen tank in his lap. And my coworker was like, why would you talk about that? I said, because a lot of times I be places in D.C. and I see people smoking with oxygen tanks. And I think people think that it can't happen to them, but I'm going to share this story and just be like, be mindful. Mm-hmm. And if you a friend of somebody that does that, remember, if you sit next to them, you might be a casualty of their cigarette. Mm-hmm. So say something.
Right.
Have the conversation. And if I love you, I'm going to be like, child, what are you doing? No. It's easy for, I don't see why. I don't see why we can't be like that, but I don't know.
Well, I like to think that we also aspire to inform on our show. I know that's something that we intentionally do, right? A lot of our guests, we and I think I said this to you, we our goal is to inspire, inform, and influence. And I think that's something that you definitely
you
do.
You think that you do or you know that
we
you do?
We know that we do.
You know how I feel about things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 you're okay. Right.
Oh, you got pay attention to the word you use.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. 3 years ago, I was homeless, and I said I was going to have a small dog in an apartment in Southeast, and it would be rent that I could afford, even if I left radio, and I may or may not have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, depending on how I feel. I live in Congress Heights in a two-bedroom duplex. $1,500, all my utilities are included. Somebody was like, why you live over there? I don't got to live nowhere fancy for you.
Right.
But yeah, like, I have a question for y'all.
Go ahead.
Why? Why the Window Seat Podcast? Why the two of y'all? Why here? Why?
Well, we're super fortunate. I think, first off, Jack in the back is incredibly patient. And then we have Nigel working with us. And I think we wanted to challenge ourselves in the beginning and just see if this is something that we found interesting. I know along the way, I found it entertaining because I worked that boring job and I don't necessarily get to be creative. But when I sit here, we get to create this thing. I don't know if it's necessarily spread for me quite yet. I just know that I'm enjoying myself. So I think that has value in itself, right? Doing something that you enjoy to do.
I know for me.
Yeah, I know you want to make money.
No. Yes, I want to make money. But
we all do.
Yeah, I want to make money. But no, so for me, I enjoy coming here. I think I was like fated to be here. I know I was fated to be here because the situation happened. I wasn't supposed to be on the show at first. It was other people and somebody dropped out and I had the time to do it, which normally I wouldn't. And then the next week, somebody dropped out and I had the time to do it. So I was doing it every week when most people couldn't make the time. And then, some people, I guess going into the next season, it just ended up being me and Chris. I think we got a good vibe. And I think as
y'all do,
I guess we increased getting guests and it wasn't just us talking to each other on the radio. I guess fit what we were trying to do. And I think that happened organically. It wasn't intentional.
So there's something that I'm not quite sure if you've ever shared on the air. You've told me that you used to walk by this place before.
Yeah, I don't want to share that, but okay. So real quick. And then because we got a lot going on today here.
I know. And I don't want to take up anybody's time because I want to sit and be nosy.
Wait, well, Well, tell your story.
I'm going to tell a story, then we got to wrap.
I want to say something about what I've observed.
Okay, so I used to work around the corner at Housing Counseling Services. So every day I would walk to 18th Street and get lunch, or most days, and this was an abandoned church. And I would walk past here every day, or most days, and be like, I'm going to be, like, because it looked pretty to me, even though it was abandoned and boarded up and all of that. I was like, I'm going to be in there. I'm going to own that one day. But I didn't, you know, I thought I would buy it, you know what I'm saying? And, like, it would be mine. But I would say to myself, I'm going to own that one day. And I would just look at it. And I see buildings, because D.C. is a really pretty city. And I see stuff, buildings, houses, whatever, around the city all the time. And I'll tell myself, it's a particular house I'm not going to say, but it's been abandoned for, I don't know how long, and I don't even know why it's still abandoned, but I've been telling myself since I've seen that, I'm going to own that house. Where I still think it? I'm going to own it. I ain't telling you.
I'm looking for a house now.
I'm not saying it.
Why not?
But yeah, that was, and it's crazy that I'm in this building. Who knows where, I may own it 10 years from now. I don't know.
Tell the universe what you want.
Oh, we do.
I want a smoothie. Maybe with some Hennessy in it. Got the NFL draft tonight. Like,
yeah.
We're definitely watching. Hopefully the Redskins do something smart.
Good luck with that.
Don't do me like that. Well, I must say, when I walked in here, Port, you have a really good presence, and I love that in the studio. Sometimes we have people in here, and I don't know. I just don't vibe, and I kind of want to sit back in a chair. You know, I haven't been doing this for years, and I'm learning how to, like, muster that energy.
You haven't had conversations for years?
No, I've had conversations, but you get what I'm saying. You're on the radio, and you can kind of, like, just make that energy come forth sometimes. And sometimes, like, I feel like the person is faking it, or it's not genuine. And because I feel like you were being vulnerable from jump, and you had no problem.
Nah, if you listen to our shows every day, from 10 to 3 p.m. on WPGC 95.5. This is her every day.
But I think that's the attraction. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Because you're vulnerable, it's easy for me to be vulnerable. And it's just like disarming in a way that I really appreciate.
That is an amazing compliment. You have no idea what that means to me.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the goal. You asked me earlier what I'm trying to do.
Right.
Boom. That feeling right there, that you feel like you can come sit naked and be like, we're going to talk.
Well, we finally got Chris and Poet made a connection today.
I'm trying.
I connect no matter where I go.
Poet, thank you for joining us.
What? And miss out on all this?
And if you want to listen to any of our other shows,
there you go. Plug them.
You can hear us at windowseat.fullserviceradio.org. You can follow us at Window Seat Podcast on Instagram. And until next time, be inspired.